from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
You know, Ursula, I be missing the G and Ursula Show listeners over the weekend. When Monday hits, I be like, you know what? I can't wait to talk with them. Shout out to the G and Ursula fam and listeners that's listening right now. Some of y'all are retired, driving into work. Drive for work, you're at work, or you're on the treadmill, just dropped your kids off, working from home, listening at work. Ursula, you know what I mean. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to do a shout out to listener Katie G, who said on Mondays, she bounds out of bed and says, thank God the weekend is over. The G and Ursula Show is on today. Come on. So we cannot disappoint.
We can't. Ursula, it's the only show that doesn't just talk to the people, but we talk with the people.
Yes.
I mean, we respond to you.
Yes. And to that end, we want to hear from you. Our state roofing text line, 888-973-5476. Mm-hmm. That is 888-973-CHIRO.
Oh, we're just going to get into it. You ain't going to tell the folks what's going on the show. Let's get to it then. Ursula's top news. Wait, time to get the people what they want. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
A 70-year-old man decided to take the law into his own hands, and he shot another man who he mistakenly thought was stealing from a grocery store in Gig Harbor.
He didn't let that person leave the store, blocked it with his cart and his own person. A fight ensued between the two parties, and at one point, the person that confronted the potential shoplifter pulled out a gun and fired two rounds.
Gig Harbor Police Chief Kelly Busey spoke to King 5 News, and he says this happened at the Safeway on Saturday night, and as bad as shoplifting has gotten, he is discouraging acts like this.
Well, we understand people are frustrated. We understand that they're aware that retail theft is blossomed. We don't want them to intervene by themselves. We want them to call 911 as the crime is occurring and just remember any detail that they can.
The alleged shooter is now in the Pierce County Jail facing first-degree assault charges. The man who was shot was taken to a local hospital, and luckily his injuries were not so severe. He was able to be released later that night.
The age of the suspect shouldn't matter. The ethnicity of the victim that was shot shouldn't matter. The time in which this incident occurred shouldn't matter. The occupation of either of these folks shouldn't matter. And whether or not they are a gang member shouldn't matter. Someone was shot for no reason. The alleged shooter needs to go to prison for 20 plus years. And if anybody can't understand that, imagine if somebody shot your mama, your daddy, your son, or your daughter for no reason, how much time would you want them to get?
In this particular case, the reason it's first degree assault is because the victim was not seriously injured. And that is very lucky because this could have gone very, very differently. And we could be talking about homicide charges. So
victim gets shot?
The victim did get shot, again, was treated and released. And that does play into how serious the charge is going to be.
Can I just say something to that? How serious do you have to be? You got shot. I mean, like, how many times you been shot before?
I personally have never been shot.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like people say, that's not serious.
This is, I understand the direction you're going with that and the issues that you raise. But in this particular case, I mean, you have to look at the facts of the case. But here's the thing that really worries me. I think that so often people get this feeling of, you know, lawlessness is everywhere. And as the chief said, shoplifting is really at an all-time high. And that is contrary to what some people might say. That is not a victimless crime. It is frustrating. But this guy didn't even have his facts straight. He mistakenly thought someone was stealing from a grocery store. He decides to put himself in this position where he's blocking them to get into a fight, and then he pulls out a gun. This is what I think happens, too, when people get so amped up, whether it's road rage, whether it's now confronting people. People need to chill out. And this idea of taking the law into your own hands and you are now going to become law enforcement, unless other people are truly in danger, don't do it. Executive Bruce Dammeyer has vetoed a bill that would have allowed homeless people to park their cars overnight in safe lots around Pierce County. In a letter to the council on Friday, the Republican executive brought up concerns about how the process happened, which led the Democrat majority council to pass the law on a partisan 4-3 vote. So right now, state law allows churches to open their parking lots to the homeless who own a vehicle so that they can have somewhere safe to sleep. The bill that was passed by the county council last month would have expanded that to schools, parks, daycares, libraries, community centers, and commercial properties. Dammeyer says the council used temporary regulations to pass this bill, and as it stands right now, he says it would impact public trust. Councilmember Ryan Mello tells the News Tribune that he's disappointed with Dammeyer's decision, pointing out that 31% of people who are homeless do have a car.
And this is one of those things that I just scratch my head at. Today at 10 o'clock, we're going to have Matt Driscoll on from the Tacoma News Tribune to talk about this. Also tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we're going to have the executive Bruce Dammeyer, and we're going to ask him questions about this. Ursula, I cannot believe that this is happening. This was only a temporary idea, a temporary thing, where people in the community were saying, you know how you and I both say that, hey, this is going to take an all out effort from all of us, all hands on deck. This is people, businesses in the community that are saying, hey, you know what? We want to help. Let's try to do something temporary to try to come up with these solutions. Now, it was interesting, right? Like homelessness crisis that we continue to talk about on an everyday basis for almost a few years now, almost 60 years, that is. We are constantly talking about this, and for some reason, there's never any buy-in and or solutions, and you have the continuation of it feels like government that just keeps kicking the can down the road. And any time in this case where the county council actually came up with, hey, let's temporary something, let's vote on it. They voted 4-3, and then there's a veto. And so my only question is why? So tomorrow, I'm going to save my question for the executive, because I'm going to put myself in that place, because as someone who lived in their car can actually feel and understand what folks that are living in their cars are going through.
Yeah, and I look forward to getting more answers from Bruce himself. But I've got to say, my initial reaction is different from after I read more details. And so let me just start with this. I understand the reluctance to allow these so-called safe lots because, let's face it, we haven't had a good track record with them in this region. Do you remember about 6 years ago when then Seattle Mayor Ed Murray opened that safe lot in Ballard? It was a disaster and had to be shut down after a couple of months. And then another was open in Soto that year. It was closed in 2018 after several people died there. So the track record hasn't been great. But County Executive Bruce Dammeyer, I believe he is probably speaking on behalf of many in his county who have concerns about where to put all these lots for the homeless. And the part that I didn't know when I initially reacted last week is that it would also include schools, parks, daycares, libraries. I understand commercial buildings. I understand churches. I would be more concerned just in terms of unless you could have a really good track record or unless you could have a guarantee that these lots would truly be safe, some of those other spots that we're talking about, I would be a little more concerned.
So you brought up because of failed experiences in the past, because I tried to get on the diet about a year ago and that didn't work. I still tried it again.
Yes.
So are we? Is that where we're going with this? We're trying to say that anything that happened in the past, because of those things,
no,
we need to make sure and bring that up for today?
Well, what I'm trying to say, G, is that I understand the reluctance. That all said, when it comes to the homeless crisis, it has to be all hands on deck. All options do need to be considered. You now have churches and businesses that are willing to host these safe lots. If they can guarantee that they truly would be safe for people who live there and their neighbors, then we should consider them.
I have an idea. I have a real idea. So when you veto it, before you veto it, I'm sure they know each other. They work in the same building. Right. I know that for sure. How about this? I have an idea. Hey, you know what? the whole schools thing, how about we not have them park in schools? I don't like that. Yes. And how about we just say, hey, do this and do that, tweak that. But as of right now, there is no temporary solution for the 31% of those that are homeless are living in cars. Yes. So if you want to veto this based upon the past and or based upon like we don't want this in school, and then you have no other idea for a temporary reason, that's a problem.
As for why all of you should care about this, I would note that last August, the Supreme Court of Washington ruled that it is illegal for cities to tow the vehicles of people who are living in them. So if you want those vehicles moved and they're in spots that they should not be in, you need to create some other alternative for them to go to, and that does not exist in King, Pierce, or Snohomish County. There are maybe a dozen safe lots in churches in all three counties. That is not good enough.
Great point. And we cannot continue saying, not in my backyard, which is what we're seeing. And if we continue to say that, the homelessness crisis will never be solved.
I just got to say, Ursula, I knew once I heard the text line is blowing up. Everybody, school, school, school. Just eliminate the schools. Just eliminate the schools. Look, I'm in agreement with you. Okay, let's not have them park in the schools. But anywhere else where businesses
daycares
are saying.
I wouldn't do that either. Or libraries, probably, I would say.
Oh yeah, because do we, libraries? We want to talk about libraries right now? Do we want to go to talk about where?
Is that really where you want to go?
Because we can have that libraries discussion.
Schools, parks, daycare. Yeah, the things that go in libraries.
Come on.
They're scary too. Okay, but let's talk about that more with Bruce tomorrow. Like, because there are some that you can say, okay, yeah, maybe not those. But there are some that absolutely should be considered.
Bruce has been in office he did his first term of 4 years. He's getting ready to go on another 2 years, so it's almost going to be 6 years. I can't wait to ask him what other ideas does he have, because there is an increasing homelessness crisis that continues to happen right here in Pierce County.
In Snohomish County, 13 firefighters who've been out of a job for 6 months for not getting the vaccine may soon be back to work. The Regional Fire and Rescue Board of Commissioners voted unanimously late last week to allow them to return to duty, but they will be tested daily. The district will now look for accommodations that it can grant to these 13 employees who either have a disability or a religious belief that prevents them from getting the COVID vaccine. Fire Chief Kevin O'Brien says their goal is to welcome them back with open arms. How you feel about that?
I'm cool. I've said it before. We've talked about this before. With those firefighters that are able to get their jobs back, great. I'm not against that. I'm not against anybody having an opportunity to get more employment. I guess the message about this is this. When you're a firefighter, or when you work for someone and you choose to go against what the rules that they're saying are, you better make sure you know your status of the company and or agency you're with, because not all firefighters are able to go back. Because, and you can't blame this on Governor Jay Inslee, by the way. You can't do that.
We talked about this before, and we talked about how in King County, Eastside Fire and Rescue fired 6 firefighters because they didn't comply with the state's mandate. Now, at that time, and I'm still with this, there were enough firefighters who were vaccinated. Hospitalizations are either down or flat, as you know, and these other departments are willing to make accommodations and also include that they will be tested daily. And we heard from a ton of people who work with those particular firefighters in King County who said, yes, bring them back. Right now, we are being stretched so thin that it would help so that we are not having to stretch. We even got an email message from a fire captain who said the same thing. Mm. I think at this juncture, I would say it's wise to go ahead and look to bring those who do want to come back, who are willing to go through the daily testing, et cetera. And some departments, I think, do that anyway. But you said you don't care either way. I think this is a wise at this juncture. I understood why it wasn't allowed earlier, but at this juncture, I think that makes sense. Okay, so here's a bit of good news. More than 25,000 grocery workers in the Puget Sound region will be getting anywhere from $4 to $9 more per hour under this latest contract that they just signed. The United Food and Commercial Workers voted to ratify the latest deal, which also increases funding to health care and pension plans.
Love it. It's a three-year deal. They'll negotiate in another 3 years for another deal. I love that this happened. Now, here's the lesson in this. Leave these folks alone. Let the union and the businesses, let them go ahead and take care of this. And what kills me about this is when cities come after union employers instead of focusing on unionizing non-union employers. Like, just chill. Let the unions do their things. You guys don't want to hear from the unions and you don't want to hear them going? Leave them be. Let them do their thing. And this is what happened and played out here.
Well, speaking of unions, what they're also seeing is that places like Starbucks are trying to unionize. Wasn't there a Verizon up in Snohomish County? They unionized. Yeah. And if they want to avoid that, why not just work on bringing up the pay on your own and you're not going to be dealing with a strike? We're talking about 25,000 grocery workers. And there's a shortage of them, too. The QFC and Fred Meyer just held a hiring event over the weekend. I didn't realize this, but they're trying to fill 1,200 positions.
Hey, how about that pay increase? I like what you're talking about right
yes.
there. Yeah. I'm excited. Just so you know, I've only had one cup of coffee, so I don't want you guys to think I'm really hyper. I'm hyper because I'm telling you, I was excited. I couldn't wait to talk to y'all today. All right.
I love it. I just was checking. I just got a text message. I love when people I am related to, like my sister, Honey, decide that during the show they need to text me.
Hey, Honey, what's good?
Still ahead. Okay. Still ahead. We're going to hear tidbits from the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And this morning, as I was putting together the top stories, Chef kept laughing and laughing. I was like, what are you laughing at? And he said it was what happened over the weekend at that dinner. So we'll share some of that with you. That's next on the G and Ursula Show. Yep. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all of you. It is a little rainy, but we're going to bring some sunshine into your life no matter what. And if you were out on Saturday night like I was, you probably missed the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner. If you're not familiar with the whole setup because it hasn't been held in a while, the entire press corps gathers at the White House for a black tie dinner and they get a chance to roast the president or watch him get roasted, and also the press gets blasted generally. And President Biden began the night by acknowledging a hard truth about his popularity.
I'm really excited to be here tonight with the only group of Americans with a lower approval rating than I have.
That's so true. That is so true. As for the other elephant in the room,
the very first president to attend the White House Correspondents' Dinner was Calvin Coolidge in 1924. I'd just been elected to the United States Senate. And I remember telling him, Cal, just be yourself. Get up there, speak from the heart. You're going to be great, kid. You're going to do it well.
Okay, if you're trying to figure that one out, for the record, U.S. senators have to be at least 30 years old. And if President Biden were in the Senate in 1924, he would be 128 years old. According to his critics, President Biden sounds that old, but he was sharp as a tack last night. He seemed to be having a lot of fun. Chef, you got a chance to watch the video. I only saw excerpts, but did he look? Because sometimes I look at him and I'm like, yeah, he does look sleepy. He does look tired. He does look confused.
He was having a blast. I mean, every joke at his expense, he was just roaring with. People are taking some exception with his laughing at the inflation jokes, but he was pretty sharp last night.
Okay, and then some people were taking issue. I guess his bow tie was a little crooked at some point in time, but anyway,
you know what's crazy? Okay, real quick, I find it interesting that the people that talk about how others look or their appearance, and I just want to ask yourself, like, have you looked at yourself in the mirror? Like, to sit there and take that opportunity to take shots. Here's what I gathered from everything: it was some jokes that was funny, and everything. the everybody that gets all like upset, like, I can't believe they said that. Like, do you know you would not make it at a black barbershop around the country? Like, when we are in the barbershop, or we getting together and we talking stuff and having fun, nobody says, wait, that's funny, but I don't know if I want to laugh at that because that person is politically aligned with me. Like, come on, live a little bit. Funny is funny. Yo, if you take a, if you make a joke about, I don't care who it is, I don't care where their politics are, if it's funny, it's funny.
Yeah. I mean, and this just doesn't go one way. I was just talking with Chef off air. I remember President Reagan being really good at this kind of thing. Some people really, President Obama was really good. But President Biden said he wasn't going to spend a lot of time roasting the GOP. He said that's not his style. And then he took the opportunity to congratulate the one person who received full-throated support from his Republican colleagues. And no, that is not former President Trump.
But Republicans seem to support one fella, some guy named Brandon. He's having a really good year, and I'm kind of happy for him.
I don't know what's funnier, that or grown adults that I see with a bumper sticker on their car that says, let's go Brandon. Like, I don't even know how you could be, I don't know how you could be a parent and your child says, mom, dad, what's the let's go Brandon mean on your car? Like, you really got that as a sticker on your car? Bless your heart.
And of course, it, in that case, it does go both ways. And in some cases, you just have to laugh. So in this, so let's look at what the host of The Daily Show, Trevor Noah, closed the night. And this actually is more serious. He talked about the importance of journalism to democracy.
Every single one of you, whether you like it or not, is a bastion of democracy. And if you ever begin to doubt your responsibilities, if you ever begin to doubt how meaningful it is, look no further than what's happening in Ukraine. Look at what's happening there. Journalists are risking and even losing their lives to show the world what's really happening. You realize how amazing it is. Like, in America, you have the right to seek the truth and speak the truth, even if it makes people in power uncomfortable, even if it makes your viewers or your readers uncomfortable. You understand how amazing that is? I stood here tonight and I made fun of the President of the United States, and I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine, right? Do you really understand what a blessing it is? Maybe it's happened for so long that it might slip your mind. It's a blessing. In fact, here, ask yourself this question. Honestly, ask yourself this question. If Russian journalists who are losing their livelihoods, as you were talking about, Steve, and their freedom for daring to report on what their own government is doing, if they had the freedom to write any words, to show any stories, or to ask any questions, if they had basically what you have, would they be using it in the same way that you do? Ask yourself that question every day, because you have one of the most important roles in the world. Thank you so much for having me.
He makes great points. And so often, journalists, we are so often the butt of jokes, or we are so often criticized for what we do. But without journalists, this would be a very, very different world. And I'm not saying that in a good way.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That's good stuff. Hey, coming up next, and we need to talk. Okay, y'all got to stay around for this. Find out what men are doing to, let's say, add to their height. That's what's happening. And would you pay to add a couple inches to how tall you are? I would discuss all that next. It's Gene Ursula. Well, good morning, y'all. It is the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Matt Driscoll from the Tacoma News Tribune will join the show to talk about the Pierce County executive's decision to veto safe parking lots for homeless people. But right now, we need to talk. Sometimes there are people around the world that say things or sing the song, I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. That's actually a rap song, Ursula. Here's what happened.
I was going to say, I've never heard that song.
Really?
Yeah. Watch, I have.
Watch the Texas Techs in. They know that song. So there are no concrete numbers on this, on how many people are having this procedure, but Ursula, it is happening. Here's the deal. That's Biden says that. $75,000 to get a procedure to make you taller. This procedure was done and is actually being done. So, you know, I kind of think maybe hundreds are having it and is getting more popular. It is a week long process to get this done. There was an example by this guy by the name of Scott. He went from 5'7" to 5'10". They're saying likely that you get about 3 inches with this surgery. The last few years, they've seen a notable rise in men getting cosmetic procedures. Facelifts, Botox, all those kind of things. Some things that usually women tend to do, well, the fellas are starting to jump in. Now I'm going to throw it out to you and everybody listening. Your thoughts on a procedure to make you taller.
Okay, so can you explain this procedure, like how it works? Are they adding to your bone? What are they doing?
It's limb lengthening. So what they do is they literally saw your leg bone in half. They insert a device between the two sawed apart bones that slowly stretches it apart, and the bone will grow together. So it is not a non-invasive option. It is, I've heard, brutally painful. But effective. I think it was originally used to correct people who had different length of legs.
I love you, Chef, because Ursula.
Yes.
I did not want to explain it.
Okay. That was a good clinically correct way to say it. Yeah, it sounds awful.
All right, what you thinking?
If you want that done and you're willing to pay and it's going to make you happy, go for it.
Not only is it making you happy, they are saying, according to this article, height is even an advantage in the workplace. They're saying where taller men are more likely to end up CEOs than shorter men.
You know, for the longest time, the shortest man I've ever known to have a top job was the Harvey at CBS. Heather can tell you about him. I don't even know that he cracked 5 feet, but whatever he lacked in height, he made up for in personality, smarts, all of it. So I never looked at his height as anything other than, and I mean, now that you talk about it, and I was thinking, you know, how could it affect you on the job? But I believe that because people are very judgmental. There have also been studies that show if you're more beautiful, if you're more, you know, if you're skinnier, I mean, you would think that being overweight is the, you know, worst thing ever, according to some people. Mm-hmm. And so because of what the pressures that society puts on everybody, yeah, I can totally see why people who offer these kind of services are going gangbusters right now.
Gee, I feel like you should be asking your in-house short person expert.
Hey, you know what? Because we have HR upstairs, I did not want to assume anything on this topic.
Yeah.
But Chef, since you go ahead,
I brought it up. All right. I don't know. If someone wants to do this and go through that process, more power to them. However, I think it is sad that as a society, we pay penalties in our personal life, in our dating lives, in our professional lives for the way that our bodies look and how we are born. Like, I can tell you that I was so short when I was a child. I think when I was about 4 or 5, the doctor talked to my parents and they said, hey, do you want to give him growth hormones? Because, you know, he's very, very short and it's likely that, you know, he'll probably end up being about 5'4" or 5'5". This is a doctor talking to two parents and saying, the way your child is, that might be so socially damaging that we need to medically correct that at the age of 4 or 5. Now, they said no, and looking back on it, I'm glad that they did, But, you know, there were certain points in my life, I'm like 5'5" and a half, where I'd thought, you know, if I was only like 3 inches taller, if I was only 4 inches taller, people would treat me differently. I wouldn't have to jump up and down in the crowded clubs at the bar to try and get a drink.
Stop it. But I was keeping my straight face until you said jumping up and down. Come on.
Well, I have to like grab onto my 6'4" buddy's shirt and like follow him through the club so I don't get trampled and I get noticed for a drink. But here's the thing. I wonder, when people make decisions like these, they often think it's going to be the one thing that's going to make the difference in their life. And fundamentally, who you are is who you are. And people might treat you differently if you're a little taller or if you lose the weight, but that is not what's going to fix you.
100%.
I get kind of worried about the aftermath effects these days with the medical field and how they're going to work all that stuff out. But as time goes along, I can see why some people might want to do this. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was. Well, now you heard the song, Ursula. There it is.
I wish I had a rabbit in the hat or bat with a 6'4" polyp.
There it is.
Well, I was going to say, maybe, and because there is an obsession with sports, especially in this country, and wanting to compete at these ridiculous levels. But, Chef, you were able to be an athlete, and you found a sport that works for you.
Yes, I wrestled. They have weight classes.
Oh, hey, you and Dave Ross did that.
Yes. Okay, another great man. Chef,
the lumberjack
Dave
man.
Ross.
Yeah. I just want to, real quick, before we get out here, Ursula and Chef, I want to give a shout-out to Chris in Seattle. No, I'm not reading your text. But I just want to tell you, you win today. That's all. You got to give a shout out to our listeners. This has been a very good topic, Ursula. Coming up next, Matt Driscoll from the News Tribune is going to join us to talk about the veto of the executive, Bruce Dammeyer, on homelessness in cars. We'll talk about that next. Jen Ursula. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl with a gun. I would call her. I wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.